meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. Good morning, Fiends Cabal. Good morning, Freedom Fiends, unindicted co-conspirators like my friend Lusander Fiend on the other end of the inner tubes. Are you there, Lou?
Yo, yo, yo. Round up your friends and family, because this is Liberty Show. This is pure uncut liberty, not tainted by any social contract.
Now, for those who don't know, what is this social contract of what you speak?
Well, I never received a copy of it, nor have I signed it, but it appears that I'm an adherent to it, and I was like born into the social contract, and it says that I have to do a bunch of stuff. But since nobody's ever seen it, I don't know what it is I have to do. But people keep telling me that I have to do stuff, and it's in the social contract. It's an evil, vicious circle. Basically, it's just a bunch of people that want to exercise their libido dominandi over everybody.
Wow. That sounds kind of like slavery to me. And the interesting thing is, this social contract, which, you know, I've heard that term used, like, you have to obey the social contract. There's a social contract. That's why you pay your taxes. That's why you obey traffic laws even when there's no cars around. That's why you pay your property taxes. That's why you put your kids in public school and send you, when they're older, send them to the military and do everything for the state. And the thing is, a lot of times conservatives will get down on leftists and liberals, as they should, for wanting to socially contract them into things. Like, you know, liberals will say, well, a majority of people believe that guns should be highly restricted, which isn't actually true, but they'll say it anyway. And even if it were true, it wouldn't mean you had any moral obligation to give up your guns, because you don't. And they'll say things like that. They'll say things like, well, it's for the good of the children, or it's for the good of society. And you have a social contract, and if you don't like it, move to Somalia. And the thing is, conservatives will rightfully condemn leftists, socialists, liberals, Democrats, and other vermin for saying that, for saying there's a social contract. But then conservatives will always, or almost always, most of them, except maybe Pat Buchanan, will imply things of that there is a social contract when it suits them. You know, like, well, you have to support the war on drugs. I mean, it's for the children. And the interesting thing to me is that I just praised Pat Buchanan, because when I was a kid, Pat Buchanan, when I was a leftist, before I saw the light and became a voluntarist, no-government man, I guess I'm an ultra-conservative, which means I don't want any of my money spent for anything that I don't want to spend, you know, if you talk about fiscal conservatism. But Pat Buchanan used to be, in my mind, you know, in the 80s, he was the squarest of the square. He was a Reagan advisor. He was basically was trying to, sounded like he was trying to bring America to like a Christian theocratic, kind of like what Saudi Arabia is with Islam, but, the same thing with Christianity in America, that group of Christians that, instead of just being good Christians and minding their own and helping their neighbors, the type who want to take things that don't have a victim and require them by law to, basically putting nanny laws from the Old Testament into action. And I kind of think he's one of the really good shining examples now of, like, man, that's what a conservative should be. I mean, that guy, he's still square as a block of wood, but he's anti-war on drugs, because he is a fiscal absolute conservative and doesn't think that the government should spend money to do that. And he's pro-military, but he's anti, you know, never-ending war. He doesn't think he knows it's not sustainable economically for the U.S. to be this empire-building force with boots on the ground in 111 countries. What say you, Lou?
I say that in the religion of statism, Pat Buchanan is one of the more preferable denominations, although it is a death cult, and it is still the only modern religion that still demands human sacrifice.
You're not talking about Christianity. You're talking about the religion of statism is a death cult.
Yes.
To be clear. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Explain.
Yes.
What do you mean by that? What say you? Why should I care? Who are you and why should I care? What do you mean?
Would you like to subscribe to my newsletter?
Yeah.
What it comes down to is it's a different brand of libido dominandi.
Dominandi.
Yeah.
Libido dominandi is an old term for
It's Latin for the lust to dominate others.
Yes,
and not the good kind that costs $50 extra.
Okay, go on.
What it is, there's an old meme that I saw on the Face Space, and it was this clean cut kid, looks like a college Republican type, and right next to him was the liberal hippie girl with the dreadlocks, and the caption says, for the guy says, he wants the government to impose his will upon you. And next to her, under her, says she wants the government to impose her will upon you. So essentially, with that lust to dominate others, they want the government guns to be pointed at anybody that does not toe their line and does not submit and bend to their will. So essentially, they're filthy status, and they will kill you if you do not bend. They hate your freedom so much that they will give up their own to take yours away.
Yeah, and a lot of people who feel like that would never admit it even to themselves. But, you know, I'd say take a good look at yourself. Maybe you're not like this, or maybe you're like me before I fully evolved into a full-fledged liberty person. You know, back then I believed, well, you and I both had a Fox News phase, didn't we? Didn't you? Did you?
Yeah, but mine was mostly for the news bunnies.
the blonde lawyers that they clone for to put on air. Yeah, they clone them in the basement, I think, of Fox News. Yeah, I went through about a 3-week phase because at that point I hadn't really looked and dug and found things like Free Talk Live and Stefan Molyneux and Adam Kokesh and, you know, all the good liberty non-bunnies the liberty cats that we're into. And, you know, I kind of bought the line of like government should be stripped down to the point where it can drown itself in a bathtub. And then do it. But you still need a strong military, and you still need, you know, to have boots on the ground all over the world to protect yourself from all those crazy Muslims, because Fox News basically tells you that every Muslim is horrible. You know, the kind of unique thing about that is there's got to be some kind of weird agendas of backing the military industrial complex there or something, because Fox News is owned, something like 11 or 15% of it is owned by a member of the Saudi royal family. So, you know, there's some Muslim money in there saying, Muslims are all going to kill you. I don't know what the agenda is with that, but Fox News does not have your best interests at mind. Neither does CNN. And those two act like they're mortal enemies because one's right wing and one's left wing. But more and more on Fox News, I hear a lot of things that sound really nanny to me and sound like really limited or false portrayals of actions of the government, or just kind of taking the Pentagon's press release on something horrible the government did and just kind of, you know, reading it and giving their own spin on their own wording on it, but no spin on it. And you gotta realize it's impossible to fully back the government and say, yes, I believe, right or wrong, you should love it no matter what, when everything the government does lately drives you nuts, as it should. You know, when Obama doesn't help those Marines and they all die, or when he trades, you know, one guy who may or may not be a traitor for five probably terrorists, or when he does things like that, or when he tries to take your guns, or when he does this or that. Obama is a horrible, horrible entity, and even more so than that, the people whose names you may not be as familiar with that he surrounds himself with, like Cass Sunstein, those people are horrible, but they're not diametrically opposed to Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and George Bush the First and George Bush the Second. In fact, they're very much like George Bush the First and George Bush the Second, and the hero of conservatism, Ronald Reagan, he added gun laws, which is anti-race taxes. So I don't know why Maybe he just reminds people of their grandfather. It kind of reminds me of my grandfather. So what say you, Lou?
I actually learned a little bit about liberty and property rights from Bill O'Reilly.
Because he was such a bad example of them?
No. He actually had a very good example. There was a time, number of years ago, and his website got hacked by some 22-year-old-ish kid. And liberal. He went in there. I imagine he was a bit of a lefty. But anyway, this kid goes in and defiles O'Reilly's website. I don't really remember all the details because it was quite a while back. But anyway, O'Reilly chose not to press charges against this kid. And this was part of his opening segment, talking points, memo, whatever. And he says, look, it's my website. I've decided that I'm going to have leniency on him. I'm not going to demand a pound of flesh from this guy. He's a young guy. He did something stupid, and he has a family to take care of. It serves nobody to have him incarcerated in jail and separated from his family. And I thought about it, and at first I was really incensed with it because I was one of the worst forms of parasites on earth. I was what's called a stakeholder. I felt that I had some sort of claim to O'Reilly's website, which I never went to.
Yeah.
But just in case I wanted to go to.
Well, with the social contract, you do. And the social contract, the evil social contract that doesn't exist, teaches people that they should be incensed about something that doesn't affect them.
Yeah, so essentially what I was saying is, I want my pound of flesh for what happened to you. Mm-hmm. And it was just really horrible, and then it started to sink in. Yes, it's his property. He gets to say what happens with it. You know, yeah. he should be the one that gets restitution. He should be the one that demands the pound of flesh or the kilogram of flesh if you're on the metric system. And Bill O'Reilly, please, go back.
Yeah.
Watch that segment. Learn from yourself.
Yeah, because that's uncharacteristic. And, you know, a lot of those guys can sound great when they're just talking about the work ethic or things like that. But it's when they say that some politician will save us from some other politician that I don't like them.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair or Libertarian Paradise and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Freedom Fiends, speaking directly into the infinite and into space. Yes, we are broadcasting this message into space, hoping that the sentient beings that may live 4.3 light years away in the Alpha Centauri region will hear us and go, oh, there, wow, finally, we've been monitoring that planet for 100 years, and finally we've heard some intelligent signals from there, and they'll come down and give us their advanced state shield technology to save us from tyranny. Talk a little bit about Porkfest. Now, if people don't know, Porkfest is the Porcupine Freedom Festival in New Hampshire, where Lou and I recently went. I went with my wife, and about 2,000 people were there, between 1,500 and 2,000. It's kind of hard to count. They did sell tickets, but it's still hard to count. And it was the largest, I believe we were at, you and I, Lou, were at the, I think it was the largest event, the largest gathering of libertarian types in history, in modern, and I'm not talking about like, yeah, maybe the Libertarian Party had an event in 1975 with more people than that, but
no, they
that's
didn't.
Not really libertarian. Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they, I think they have about 2,000 members nationwide, but yeah, that was probably, if anyone can correct me and think of another event that was purely a libertarian get together, that had more people, let me know. But I think that was it. And this year had more than any other year. So I think we were at it. I think we broke a record there. And it was pretty much libertarian paradise. I mean, it was a week of people, you know, selling things in gold, silver, and Bitcoin without any police, smoking what they want, drinking what they want, selling their own untaxed alcohol, everyone carrying a gun, no violence, no fights, no problems. You know, they say it couldn't work, but it certainly worked for a week with 2,000 people. So you had some thoughts.
I don't know how many people were there. I was standing on top of the hill trying to count, but they just wouldn't stand still.
Well, so. They did take a picture at one point, which I still haven't seen. But I wasn't there for the picture. DJ and I were driving back to Vermont to an airport when that picture was taken. We missed
it. I'm in the picture. Just look for the guy with the beard and the cop black shirt.
He's joking because that probably describes 10 to 20% of the people there. Speaking of t-shirts, we have a story coming up. I don't know when. My wife's still waking up. She, you know, she doesn't get enough sleep during the week sometimes because she works and has to get up and go to an office. I work at home and, you know, she works really hard. She likes her job, but Saturdays and Sundays, Friday nights and Saturday nights, she tries to sleep, you know, 11 hours if she can to try to put something in her sleep bank for further abuse of the day job. Not that her day job's not abusive, but, you know, just the amount of brain work it takes to do her job, which is a lot of it, during the week. So she's kind of recovering and waking up, not recovering. She's waking up slowly. And I want her to be smart when I want her to be at her smartest and have her come on and, tell this story of what happened when she was wearing one of Davy Barker's t-shirts. Are you there? Are you ready? Are you smart and ready and wonderful? I haven't set the mic up yet. Let's do it in the next segment. Yeah, she was wearing a t-shirt. Davy Barker sells t-shirts. And you can't get them online. You can only get them in person from Davy, which is kind of cool. He sells a lot of other stuff online. But he has t-shirts that say, "Kill the precedent." And I did not say president. I said precedent, like that which used to be, you know, the old ways of doing things that aren't working. Yeah, these "Kill the precedent" shirts were very popular, and my wife wore one to Walmart yesterday, and some old statist got in an argument with her, like a loud argument with her in the middle of with a bunch of people watching going, "What's going on here?" She likes to get in arguments sometimes with people when they express their opinions. She's feisty, like, you know, when she's waiting in line behind the 18-year-old couple with on food stamps, counting their food stamps with three children next to them, and the wife's pregnant. And my wife finally says, "If you can't feed them, don't breed them." And the man got up in her face. I wasn't there. And my wife gotten in the guy's face and started telling him, you know, if you can't, why he shouldn't breed them if he can't feed them. And, yeah, hilarity ensued. That's another story. She told that before, though, so we'll have her tell the "Kill the precedent" — I said precedent, not president — t-shirt story in the next segment. So what about the sound check we did? We got a minute here. Go ahead and tell me.
Does DJ just automatically calm people down with her soothing voice when she's arguing with them at Walmart?
She kind of does, maybe. But, you know, if you're going to be argued at, she's got a great voice to do it. It's not screechy. It's wonderful, and we'll hear it in the next segment on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Yeah, freedom. This is Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide. From a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America, I'm joined by Lou. Say hi, Lou.
Yo, yo.
And myself and my lovely wife, DJ. How you doing, DJ?
Hello, I'm doing well, thank you.
Cool. We couldn't get headphones for you in time, but you know, you told me the story yesterday without headphones on, so you like to you don't do radio. You do the behind the scenes stuff, you do the voices on the ads and things, but you occasionally exhibit some activism in person. Tell us about
it. It's perhaps a little more passivism. Passive activism?
Is
that a thing?
That's, I didn't like passivism, but I like passive activism.
During my regular routine visit to Walmart yesterday, I wore one of Davy Barker's t-shirts that I particularly like. It says, "Kill the precedent." And
I told you, if you wear that to Walmart, some product of the public schools is going to think it says president and probably agree with it, but...
And you were right.
I was
in the produce department gathering salad for the week, and this feisty old man...
Bunny food.
...looked at me and said, "Young lady, you should be ashamed of yourself. He may be an idiot, but you have to respect the office."
Which is exactly what Bill O'Reilly says all the time. And respecting the office has gotten us where we are, people. Okay, go on.
Anyway, so... And he was really rather up in my face about the whole thing. And so I just said, looked at him and said, "You obviously are a product of our fine public schools. It does not say president, it says precedent." And he kind of paused a little bit and scowled at me and said, "Well, what does that mean?" And I said, "It means don't be an idiot and keep doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results, like voting." And he said, "Well, what do you mean? You know?" And I said, "What do I believe? I believe in no government. Why should somebody tell me what to do? And why should I tell someone else what to do? I can take care of myself. I don't want to take care of anybody else. I don't want my money spent for things I don't believe in that 49 or 51% of the people think should be spent." And yeah. And he just sputtered and sputtered. And we were kind of loud and in the produce department at Walmart on a Saturday. There's quite an audience. And we were drawing some stares, but he couldn't really come back with anything and just humped at me and walked away.
Social contract.
Social contract.
Yeah, so I came home and told you were right.
So. Yep. And I don't really know what the answer is with voting. We don't vote. You and I don't vote. And I don't think Lou votes, although I think Lou's running for office, which is a whole other can of worms. But... we will, you know, I don't see not voting as a strategy. I just see voting personally for me as participating in an absolutely immoral situation that perpetuates the soft slavery we're in that leads to more harder slavery as time goes on. You know, Lou and I can discuss that later, or you and I, the three of us can discuss it, but that's not really what I'm here to discuss, but I think you're absolutely right with what you told him. The only thing I think I would have said was not use the word "our public schools." They're not my public schools. I didn't build them. I'm taxed for them, but they're not mine. It's stolen from me.
My money went into it. I have partial ownership. I may not be proud of it, but...
Maybe we should run for school board.
No.
Yeah. And Tell us the story. You told it when it happened about a year ago, but we have a lot of new listeners now on the radio. Tell the if you can't feed them, don't breed them Walmart story. You do your activism in the aisles of Walmart, basically.
Well, I'm down in the trenches with the common folk. I had kind of a grumpy day at Walmart and got into...
What does that mean?
That means lots of people, lots of screeching, misbehaving children.
The world was in your way.
Yeah,
basically.
The products and services I wished to acquire were not readily available, and all the lines were long.
Okay.
So I wheeled my overburdened cart into a lane and was behind a young couple in their... probably early 20s.
I said 18, but yeah, no, I wasn't there. I was not there.
I would call them early 20s. With, I'm trying to remember now, at least 3 children and 1 on the way. I mean, they had a double stroller. They had a child in a shopping cart and, you know,
she was... a child in the woman.
Yes, yeah. Very, very pregnant. And they were shuffling and scooting and transferring their non-food products, and by what I mean by that is just a lot of junk food and garbage, shuffling that with a little bit of baby food and diapers and formula and whatnot, trying to figure out what they could buy with food stamps and what they were going to have to buy with cash, FRNs.
Yeah.
And
Federal Reserve notes. Yeah,
it just was taking up a lot of my time, and I was grouchy, and I finally muttered, thinking it would only be under my breath, but apparently not.
I never heard that part, but that's funny.
I was like, you know, if you can't feed them, don't breed them. And Daddy turned around, and
the male
turned around and looked at me and said, "What's your problem? You know, you're not paying for any of this. Why do you complain?" And I said, "Who do you think pays for those food stamps? Those of us who work and are forced to contribute to a system that supports people like you who can't make up their own, make good enough decisions to support themselves and have to rely on the rest of us who work hard and steal from us." And he started got inches away from me and was up in my face, and I no longer remember exactly what he was saying, but we were spitting back at each other, you know, a couple of angry cats. And suddenly I feel this hand on my shoulder, and I turn around, and there's about an 8-foot
boy,
yeah, of the Wyoming rancher, you know, the boots, the hat, the belt, the plaid.
A real cowboy,
weathered face. And he leans a little bit over my shoulder and says, "Son, the lady's right. Just turn around." And I was so stunned. I looked up at him and said, "Thank you." And he patted me on the shoulder and said, "It's okay. I understand."
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, sir. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Walmart, it's my daily or my weekly adventure into
into the
harsh
the,
reality.
The people. Yeah. I like the shirt you're wearing. It's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. It says, "A government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have."
I've worn this to Walmart and got in a conversation with a couple of grandmothers about, "Oh, that's so true. That's so true. Well, what do you think the solution is?" I said, "No government." And that kind of made their eyeballs spin a little bit, but they were not opposed to the other. I walked away, finally, you know, extracted myself from the conversation, but they were talking. I was like, wow.
You look like you're going to weep with joy.
No, that's just early morning dewy-eyedness.
Let me throw something in on that Jefferson quote.
But no, I frequently.
Go ahead, Lou.
People always say that the only legitimate form of government or purpose of government is to defend rights. Well, if a government's strong enough to give you everything you want, is strong enough to take it all away, then it also stands that a government strong enough to defend your rights is also strong enough to take them all away.
Yep. And it also, believing that government is going to save you from things is basically the idea of elected government. And I'm not talking in favor of a tyrannical government. Instead, I'm talking
no difference
to less or no government. But the idea behind government is people are too stupid to rule themselves, so these stupid people should choose people to rule. Doesn't make
other
sense. Other stupid people. Yeah. And you know, politics attracts the most power hungry evil that there are.
Darwinism would take care of it, you know.
Darwinism.
Survival of the smartest.
Well, and that sounds really, when you present that to people, that sounds really cruel, you know, kind of Ayn Randian, and I'm not really a big fan of her, although she was.
Neither am I.
She was part of your path to liberty and a lot of people's path to liberty early on. Heinlein.
Heinlein.
But you read Rand as a young lady.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, good people who aren't violent, who are not capable of working, would probably not starve to death in a ditch in the lack of a government. They would probably be taken care of by family and churches and private secular organizations. And the yes. thing is, all of those entities would have a lot more money to contribute without the government. I've seen some math done. It's kind of complicated, but how much richer would everyone be without the government? 8 times richer. And if you know, if you were 8 times richer, you probably would want to give away a bunch of money to various causes.
I'm sure that, speaking personally, there are good people who at times need assistance, and I would be pleased to help people I choose to assist.
Yeah.
I object to being forced to assist people I've never met and don't know and don't have a belief that they deserve my assistance.
Yep. And you have a cat in your lap. Peanut has climbed up in your lap, and you help our cats. You help our cats live wonderful lives.
Yes. I think Peanut would have a hard time surviving in the wild open world, and I am happy to assist him.
Yes. Special cats need the most love.
That's right.
She's looking kind of James Bondian. She's sitting in a big chair with a microphone petting a cat. But you don't look sinister. It just reminds me. It reminds me of a Bond villain a little bit. You're not a villain. You're wonderful. I love you.
I love you,
love
too.
Love you, baby.
Yes.
Love you. Love doing radio with you. It's very infrequent that you get on here. You can come on anytime you want now, but...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I save it for special occasions.
Yay. Well, I'm going to watch my wife pet a cat, and we're going to go to the market and sell some things, and we'll be back. Let's get a three-way worms here.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah. But I'm powerless over what Derek J believes. And if you don't like it, you can call
Move
him.
Move to Somalia.
You can email him and have him discuss it tonight on the show. Tonight we're doing an experiment. Derek J is going to lead the show without me, connecting to GCN via the Comrex, which is the super duper pipe tube box that costs $1,500. That we connect to the network with that enables us to do a radio show. And he's going to connect to Bill Buprat via, Skype or some other free piece of something. And I'm going to be around for the first segment to see how it goes. But I think it'll go well. It's going to be, it's a step toward the possibility that I won't always be here. You know, if I get droned or jailed or if I just old. Become senile. Yeah, just old. If I'm like, I'm on the radio and I'm going to talk. It doesn't matter if my voice sounds like that, but if I just start making no sense, I hope we won't need to have a board of directors where the fiends can vote me off the show I started. I hope it's more like I gently step aside and then just become a caller who calls in and annoys everyone once in a while. But we're working towards my obsolescence. It is planned obsolescence in a good sense, not in the sense of you buy something and it breaks.
So, if you get a screechy voice and stop making sense, then you could probably just fill in for Mark Levin every once in a while.
Yeah, there you go. So we wanted to talk about equipment. I buy a lot of equipment and sell it and break it, and it works or doesn't work. And the stuff that works, I really like and keep. At 2 points during this show, my effects, these things, hello, switched on by themselves. And I'm pretty sure it was not the effects unit. I'm pretty sure it was the floor pedal that I bought, which should work because it's made by Fender. They make good stuff, but maybe I just got a bad one. In mass production, one out of every 100,000 items will just not work right. So I unplugged that. It hasn't happened since. So I hope that equipment's okay. But we do like to talk about equipment on here because this is a teaching hospital. We don't want to just be the stars. We want to create stars. We want to create other people who have the ability and knowledge and tech knowledge to do their own shows. And if you're listening, maybe someday you'll do your own show, and we'd like to help with that. So, Lou, in equipment moment, ask me some questions.
Okay. I'm pretty much brand new to radio and podcasting. I've only been doing this for a couple months since the nighttime show started. And I've basically been operating with a laptop and the Audio-Technica 2005 USB microphone.
Yeah, which costs $55, and you bought a mic stand, which cost about $25 to get the mic up close to your mouth, and you got a 50-cent foam windscreen to put over it so it doesn't have all the pop, 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 pop when you say your P's and D's, the plosives. And really, like, you could do radio with, like, $70 worth of equipment now, and it sounds pretty good. And so what's your next question?
Okay, as you know, we have the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest coming up in August, August 22nd right. through 25th. Go to miplc.org for more details on that. Please get registered.
Yes. Round up your neighbors and register them for the MIPLC, for the Michigan Peace and Liberty Festival.
Register yourselves. But anyway, we're going to be doing a live radio broadcast from there, and I really enjoyed doing the live panel broadcast that we did from Porkfest. What I'm trying to figure out is the most cost-effective way to get a setup to where I can have three microphones going at one time and do it in a panel. There's going to be a handful of fiends that have committed to coming out there. And we'll also have a bunch of attendees that we'll bring up and audio waterboard them about their experience.
Well, first of all, do you have internet and electricity there?
Yes and yes.
Okay. I mean, the easiest thing to do would be to have one mic and pass it around. And I'm going to be on the other end board hopping this. You're going to be connecting to me over Skype or Blink, and I'm going to be connecting via the Comrex to GCN. That'd be the easiest way to do it. But to actually do it so it's like a radio show, like the way Free Talk Live does it when they're remote, as far as having multiple mics and multiple headphones, it'd be a bit of money. It'd be a few $100. Now, it'd be cheaper if two of the people coming could bring their own. Do they have these mics we're using? Can they bring these same mics?
Well, there'll be a half a dozen fiends there.
Okay, because these mics, you're connecting via USB, but they also can connect via XLR. And I don't know that there is a way to USB three mics into one computer without a mixer. What I would do is I would get a mixer, a really cheap little Barracks mixer, like the very much lower line of the same line that I have, which is the Zenix, X-E-N-Y-X, something like that. And, plug the three mics into it with XLR cables, plug three headphones into it. You might need a splitter, a three-way splitter, and then USB it into your laptop and connect via Skype with that. That's my recommendation.
Well, worms to that, brother.
Well, worms to that. All right. Worms. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. And if your local station does not play the second hour, call them and politely ask them to. And in the meantime, go to freedomfiends.com, or you can go to lrn.fm to listen live, or gcnlive.com. Worms.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Broadcasting live in 101 from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And yes, I was making a shopping list for Lou for a cheap and wonderful portable podcasting radio. Reach the world with your friends with acceptable audio setup. It's not that much money, man. You know, most people spend more on bow ties in a year than it costs to get good audio. Now, most people don't buy bow ties. What's something that people could buy less of and buy audio equipment instead and do a show?
I would prefer to buy more audio equipment and much, much, much less government.
Yeah, I guess we pay a lot. We collectively have to pay a lot for government we don't use. And I may get into this article by William Grigg about cops and how you pay for them, you might be safer without them. And if you're unlucky enough to run across them in certain ways, they'll kill you, man, even if you're an innocent person. And they say they're good. There are good cops. I believe there might be. I wish the good cops would arrest the bad cops. I would believe more that there were good cops if they would break the blue wall of silence and arrest the bad cops. But that's not what we're here to talk about. I guess it is in a way, because we're talking about government intervention on things that are an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it because it's free trade that doesn't need someone not only taking a cut, but also just messing with people. So tell us about Lyft. How do you spell Lyft? What is Lyft?
It's L-Y-F-T. And let's just be thankful that we're not getting all the government that we're paying for. We'd all be in FEMA camps.
Yeah, Pete, that's the thing of like people who want small government and want to streamline government like Rand Paul. If they succeeded, they would end up like handing a much more streamlined tyranny to someone who's more tyrannical than them, who succeeds them, follows them.
Anyway. Now that we've invoked the R word,
I'm just saying anyway. Government. Yeah. I'm echoing what you said, that government is inefficient and that's its only saving grace, because if it were as efficient as the free market, we'd all be living in 3x3 cages running on treadmills.
That's just for the trustees, the regular general population would have smaller. But anyway, there's a competing transportation service out there. It's called Lyft, and there's another one called Uber. I've been doing some research on them over the past couple of days because I came across an article. Basically, what these companies do is they will get people from point A to point B, and yes, government needs to see its way out of it. But let's look at the larger picture. It's more than just transportation. It is the economy. What is the economy? What is the market? The economy and the market is people working together, people providing for others, and basically, it's the life support system for humanity. The fact that I can go to the grocery store and buy all kinds of food and I don't have to raise it myself, that is the economy. That is specialization. The fact that I can have somebody repair a vehicle that I don't know how to repair is the economy. It exists to ensure the survival of the human race. But yeah, just like every other benefit, healthy living entity, there's always a parasite that comes in and tries to siphon off from it.
Yeah.
Have some government.
Yeah. It's horrible, man.
In Knoxville, Tennessee. Is it Knoxville, Nashville? I can't remember.
In Tennessee.
Yeah. In Tennessee. But anyway, the police have organized to fine and arrest and basically stop Uber and Lyft drivers in their tracks.
Ugh.
Yeah. So what you have is new competition coming into the market and lowering the prices. Everybody complains about the high cost of taxis. Why is that? Because the available supply does not meet the demand. Therefore, the prices go up. So all these politicians complain about competition, but through regulation, licensing, and sending the cops out to arrest people that are providing services to others, you know, you're crushing competition. This is creating jobs. Politicians complain about not enough jobs out there, but their very actions are destroying the jobs that they're complaining don't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
So what kind of a death cult is this to where people complain about things, and then when these things pop up on their own, they squish them like an ant?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm reminded of a letter that we read at one point on the show that was some politician around the dawn of cars trying to outlaw cars and saying they were devil machines and man was never meant to travel at the extreme speed of 9 miles an hour and they must
be... Bullock County, Kentucky.
Yeah, they must be reduced to 3 miles and to as fast as someone can walk, basically, was what they said. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so the police are going around and harassing these people that are providing services for each other. If you go to Forbes 10 Most Dangerous Cities, guess which city pops up in the fourth place?
Tennessee? Knoxville?
It's Memphis, Tennessee,
yeah.
The place that created the task force to arrest, fine Uber and Lyft drivers. Now, how does Uber and Lyft work? Basically, it's an app on a smartphone. So you can basically just click that you need a ride, and it will show people that are available in the area. And they will come, and both services provide a picture of the car, a picture of the driver. And I know one of them provides the license plate number. I can't remember if both do. Oh, and the Lyft has this big, giant pink mustache on the front, which is a little creepy to me.
Fruity.
But, you know.
It's a little fruity, but... Hey, you know, you'd remember it, you'd notice it, you'd see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the Plymouth Neon could look like a smiley face, I guess you could put a mustache on a car too. but here's the thing. They do their own background checks. They'll check county, state, federal databases to find out if the driver is a criminal. So they're doing this on their own. They also inspect the vehicles to make sure that they are safe, that they're high quality and not going to break down, and that they're not a piece of junk. They also have a rating system to where you can rate the driver. If you have a bad experience with the driver, let's say somebody that you just don't get along with, or let's say the driver's an idiot, you give them a low rating, they never see your call again. They never come to you again.
Yeah.
Now, when you're hailing a taxi in New York City, do you have that option? No. You're stuck with whatever person comes and gets you. And
yeah, it's
you're happy to get it.
It's basically applying methodologies that have sprung up organically on the way
internet forums work, like where you can block someone you don't like, or you know, give someone 5 stars out of 5 stars, or give someone 1 star out of 5 stars. That kind of thing applied to actual in the flesh businesses. And this is, you know, people say, well, without the government, who would build the roads? Without the roads are already built. And it seems like with the government, these things are being crippled that are going to, you know, save the roads and not have the need for as many cars on the road and not have the need for, you know, so much public transportation. That's the thing that they always say we need government for. You know, without the government, you wouldn't be able to have public transportation. I mean, even in conservative Casper, Wyoming, there's somebody on the city council here who tried to block the building of some big box shoe store outside of town, you know, about 2 miles outside of town, because she said that poor people or people without cars wouldn't be able to shop there. And, you know, in the free market, things like this would take care of that. Like, oh, well, you want to go to the big box store? You look on your smartphone and find someone that's going that direction and give them $1, which is, you know, less than a public bus would cost in a city that actually has a public transportation system. This town really doesn't have much of one. They have some little vans that look like the short bus that run like every 2 hours, you know, in two directions on two streets in town. So, yeah, we don't really have that here. But yeah, this could replace all this. Basically, open sourcing things, bringing them to, I don't like to say to people because it sounds Soviet or San Franciscan, but bringing things to the masses, bringing things to the public and letting the public, you know, vote with their wallets, and combining that with people that have brilliant ideas that aren't even that visionary. I mean, that's not that far into the future. That's not flying cars. That's saying use an existing technology, a smartphone, to find a ride in an existing technology, a car. And, you know, people could pick up some extra money for it. I mean, a lot of people own a car that are very much underemployed, mostly because of the actions of governments. You know, they can't pay their rent, they can't make their car payments, but they have a car and they need a car to get to their job so they don't end up on welfare. And you know, they used to work full time and now they work part time because Obamacare has crippled employers' choice to the point where a lot of employers are just taking people from 40 hours a week to 27 hours a week so they don't have to buy them health insurance. You know, which is a natural reaction, and I understand businesses doing that. But those same people could easily be making a little extra money driving, happily driving people around, using the Lyft service or the Uber service. And, you know, they can't in these cities because these cities have entrenched. You know what it comes down to is the cities sell taxi medallions, you know, the right to drive a taxi to taxi companies and taxi drivers. And these things cost like $250,000 in New York City. And in,
1 million now.
A 1 million? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and in a place like Buffalo, New York, they probably cost $100,000, you know, in smaller cities. Yeah. So basically, and they don't offer any protection. You know, the cities don't do background checks on the people. They don't vet them. They don't interview them. It's like, you know, buying a gun license in states that don't even have a requirement of taking a test for safety or competency. It's ridiculous, man. Governments just get in the way.
Instead of calling it bringing it to the people, how about bringing it to people from people?
There you go. I like that. It's less collective and less so, and it's not Soviet and it's not collective. Yeah, bringing it from people to people. No, how about this? It's people bringing it from people to people because people run Lyft and Uber. And there you go.
Two people from people by people.
And if you want a picture of the government, people. The government just is keeping people from doing things they want to do.
You're
all the time.
To the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed,
Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends.
Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we're discussing the fact that government is just a big bully that wants to beat you up and take your lunch money. It pretty much is. It may provide some services occasionally, but there's services that would be better provided by the free market. You know, they said in the book 1984, if you want a vision of the government, no, if you want a vision of the future, it's a book about government. It says, if you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stomping on a human face forever. That's true with government. I think there may be less government than more government in the future because what's going on is unsustainable and it's going to collapse. And it's probably designed that way, but maybe not. Maybe there's just libido dominandi and the people who apply or demand to be part of the government are people who don't really want to work hard for a living and want to steal from others and have a guaranteed gravy train to do whatever they want. That's what politicians do. And it's kind of amazing to me that people who hate politicians and think they're all corrupt, you know, back the arms of the politicians, like, oh, police are our friends, or, you know, praise the military, they're only ever doing good. And my kid's in the army. I'm not bashing people in the army. I'm just bashing the idea of that we even need an eternal war state going on all over the world. And there's some good cops out there, but I wish the good cops would arrest the bad cops more often, because cops do bad things far more than you know about, than unless you're paying attention. And they get a pass when they do it. They do things all the time. They murder people. They shoot people. They beat people up. And they don't usually get in trouble for it. They usually get a paid vacation of a couple weeks of desk duty or sitting at home. But really, if you want a vision of the government, I think you picture, if you don't want to picture a boot squishing a head, you can just picture two people engaged in something that neither of them want to be engaged in. You know, if you fly somewhere with the TSA, the guy touching your groin probably doesn't want to be touching your groin. It probably bugs him. And if you picture, you know, the person with their groin being touched probably doesn't want it. And that's what governments do all the time, you know, and the person being taxed for running their own free tax, their unencumbered taxi service doesn't want the government getting in the way of it. The person who wants to use that taxi service doesn't want the government getting in the way of it. The guy out hassling the people for doing it would probably rather be home with his family or doing something productive, but, you know, he's got to take care of his family and he's 7 years from his pension. And even if he has a realization that the government is bad, he doesn't want to quit. I had a friend that worked for the Department of Homeland Security who used to work for the CIA, and they changed his job to Department of Homeland Security, and he became a libertarian and he wanted to quit his job, but he was like, I'm 2 years away. You know, I'm just going to sit at a desk and do the least amount of harm I can until I'm done and I can take care of my family. So, you know, a lot of times it's all about taking care of the family, and people are doing things they don't want to be doing that they wouldn't do in the free market, that wouldn't exist in the free market, that they have some misgivings about doing if they're good people. And they're still doing it because they have to take care of their family. And that's the kind of situation government set up to where, you know, you can't really survive in the free market. And if you do so, your job, your hours are going to get cut, and you'll have to go work for a unlicensed taxi service or a new taxi service. And that's the kind of thing that we lead to. And Lou, what say you?
I say it's time to abolish the government, because when you look at all the costs, one of the big complaints, there's a big brouhaha in New York City as well as Washington, D.C., Murder on the Potomac, District of Criminals, about, or it's coming from the established taxi companies out there, and they're complaining that Uber, Lyft, and whatever else comes in doesn't have to abide by the same regulations and all the other nonsense that they have lobbied to keep organizations like Uber and Lyft from entering the market. And their biggest complaint is that these other companies are able to undercut their prices because they don't have to pay for all this nonsense. They're not paying the $1 million medallion fee and all this other crap. And incidentally, since the fee went up to $1 million, I'm pretty sure the number of new medallions sold is zero. But rather than saying, hey, let's make it less sucky for us too, no. Their typical response is, well, we have to make it suck equally for everybody. So they bring in the Department of Making Everything Suck, meaning government, and they're costing people more money because they have to pay to support this parasite. The economy is for the betterment of humanity. It's not supposed to be a life support system for the state.
Yeah. Preach it, Brother Beavis. Preach it. Yeah. We'll be back with more after this trip to the free and unencumbered market on the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Yo, yo, yo.
So you were going to tell me something about the government and why it can't be fixed. What do you got in mind?
Well, it can't be fixed because it's not broken. It's operating exactly as intended. But going back to public transportation, I used to live in the city of Detroit and I rode the bus.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I did it for as short of a period of time as humanly possible. And the reason being is that you don't know when the bus is going to arrive.
And this is when you got back from the Army, right? And you were
No, this was just a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
And the inconsistency of the bus route, because I literally, there have been times where three, even four buses showed up at a stop at the same time, and the first two or three would go by because they were packed to the gills and people were jammed in there like sardines. And it wasn't even standing room only. It was barely breathing room only. That's how packed it was. And this isn't just Detroit. This happens everywhere. New York City and all the large cities. And what you have is governments are incapable of making a very large vehicle go up and down the street.
Roads.
Yeah, absorb that into your mind. If public transportation is something that, I don't think it's in the Constitution, but, I'm willing to pretend the Constitution grants authority. It doesn't. But I refuse to pretend that the Constitution grants capability. But people always say that public transportation is something that government must provide. If you look at gypsy cabs, if you look at Uber, Lyft, if you look at, somebody who has a pickup truck and puts an advertisement on Craigslist and says, hey, you just moved here and you have a PT Cruiser and you can't move large stuff around, give me a call. I'll go to Sam's Club, Costco, whatever it is, and I'll haul your big stuff for you.
Yeah.
And that is the market. That is people working together. It's an exchange. And the whole thing about the market is when the transaction is completed, both people say thank you because they are both better off for it. But anyway, going back to the Detroit buses, people could not get jobs in Detroit if they rode the bus because that's how unreliable the bus service was. I was riding the bus on a day where the bus drivers went on strike and went up to Lansing to protest some sort of, I don't know, like try to bring them in line and make them be less ungood. And there was a guy, I'm on my way home, and he's like 4 hours late for work for his first day on the job. And I'm sorry, the dog ate my bus route doesn't work when you're dealing with an employer. The employer needs you there.
Didn't you say a lot of employers in Detroit will no longer hire people who take the bus because they're so unreliable?
Right, right, because they need their people there. And this happens in so many places. And here you have an answer to a problem created by government, because government is like the mafia. The filthy vulture must always wet its horrible, parasitic, scavenging beak. Nothing can happen in that territory without them getting a piece of it. So they demand the inspections, but the inspections are just revenue generating. It's not actually to make sure their safety. And here's something else. And this goes back to Porkfest. There was a Washington Post article that was bemoaning that the food vendors were not inspected by the county health department or whoever it was. Last time you went to a family member's house or a friend's house for dinner, did you ask to see an inspection certificate?
No.
No.
And, you know, people could, I'm sure the people who wrote that article would say, well, but you assume that the places they bought the things were inspected. But a lot of the food sold at Porkfest were sold by family farms who brought things in and sold them. And, you know, nobody got sick. Everybody had a good time. I ate a lot of that food.
And people that do this for a living.
You know what actually made my stomach a little queasy was there were a few people that were not, farm vendors or libertarians or people who were caring about their product. There were a couple of people who were like carnival vendors, you know, who go on carnival vendor circuits, and they were serving definitely, you know, USDA inspected meat, but, you know, preparing it in kind of like a everything's fried in grease methodology, which is legal and passes inspection. But it made my tummy a little, I gotta go sit down for a while after, you know, for a half hour, an hour after eating that food.
Yeah, well, I get that sometimes when I do fast food because I don't eat a lot of it. And when I do eat fast food, it has that impact on me because it's like a strange foreign substance entering my body.
Yeah, because you cook your own good meat and vegetables all the time.
Yeah, steak, sacrificial lamb, veal. Oh, I love veal, especially the young veal. You can taste the cruelty.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're just saying that to irk people who think that veal shouldn't be a thing. I don't really like eating baby animals. They're, I don't know, I don't find them that tasty, for one thing.
Yeah, it's mostly for impact. hoping that somebody really sensitive will blow a head gasket.
Yeah, and you know, there is that attitude, but when that's taken extrapolated to the extreme, I've seen like right-wing reactions against that think that they're reactions against dumb left-wing policies, but they're really taking it to an extreme that also cramps innovation. Like I know I've talked to Republicans who hate bicycles. They think bicycles are a communist plot, and they'll like, you know, beep really loud at bicyclists to try to scare them on the side of the road and things like that. Or, you know, let out a bunch of diesel smoke, and they'll do the same thing to like people driving electric cars or whatever. And electric cars are not a bad idea. The way they're implemented are a horrible idea, and they don't really save power. Because the power is usually for them is usually generated by burning fossil fuels a few hundred miles away. But there's nothing wrong with bicycles. Bicycles are not a communist plot. You know, it's not. It's a kind of ugly, like anti-liberal attitude taken to the extreme to just insanity. To where, like, you know, you should have your right to drive your big gas-guzzling fossil fuel truck. And more power to you, but it doesn't make people who don't do that stupid. And you know, the problem is the thing is the one of the reasons America has ongoing wars all over the world is because of an insatiable hunger for fossil fuels and because of leftists banning the mining of fossil fuels in America, or making them so hard. And, you know, a lot of that comes from the EPA, which was put in by Nixon. I mean, that was a right-wing agenda. That's not a left-wing. It's a government agenda thing. And free market would take care of a lot of these things. You know, I mean, the reason America still has – the world still has a dependency – America more than other countries has a dependency on fossil fuels is because innovation is so difficult. You know, if you come up with I'm not talking about these people who say, yes, there have been patents on car. You know, people try to file patents on cars that run on water and they've been murdered by the oil people. I'm talking about just like, I don't even know if that happened or not. I've seen blurry pictures with red arrows on them. But, you know, when people want to start a new business that innovates in something, even with existing technology, like using Lyft or Uber or, you know, crowdsourced taxi services, which do reduce the need for fossil fuel use because it's two people riding a car instead of one or three people or four people. And it's, you know, less cars on the road because people only use them when they need them. That kind of stuff is just crushed by the government. If you come up with a new technology, if you come up with a new way of doing things and you're tinkering in your garage and you're an inventor, first of all, these days, you know, you'll probably get raided by a SWAT team because if you're tinkering with chemicals in your garage, they probably think you're running a meth lab and they probably kick in the door and shoot you. But even if you do come up with some idea, the barriers to entering the market with anything that is new innovation or technology are so soul crushing that most people just give up and go work for somebody else. And that's not a left wing product. That is a product of government. That is a product of, you know, 200 and some years of people adding more and more and more and more and more and more laws from the left and the right. And I don't know what the solution is, but I know what the solution ain't, and the solution ain't trying to vote the right people in and fix it and tinker it. That hasn't worked, man. And if you do get someone like Ron Paul in, he was a great guy. He was my favorite government thug of all time. He was the only honest one you could hold a lantern up to and see that, yes, he actually is honest and he's actually trying to abide by the rules of the system that have been set up. The only one who absolutely voted on the Constitution in every case. If someone like that became president and streamlined the government, 4 years later, you'd get someone like Obama or George Bush in office who'd be like, oh, thanks for streamlining the murder machine and the theft machine for me. So that's not a solution.
What a lot of people are doing is just ignoring the nonsense and taking their chances and rolling the dice and going out and providing services yeah. and goods to people. In Detroit, there's a thing called Operation Compliance, ugh. And this is on the City of Detroit website. Their goal is to shut down every business that hasn't paid their fees or doesn't have all the appropriate licenses, hasn't had the inspections. The awnings on their cafe are 2 inches too far away from the building, whatever it is. And basically the complaint from a lot of people is that they're making it so difficult to do business that they're just going underground. They're going into the gray market and they're saying, catch me if you can. And because government is pretty much incompetent, a lot of people are getting away with it.
Yeah, because this is a city where, you know, the police are so corrupt and inefficient that if you're being robbed and you call the police, they're going to take 2 or 3 hours to show up, if they show up at all. And if they show up and, you know, you're sitting there, you know, cut, lying on the ground, they're just going to take pictures of it. If you're robbed, the only reason people go to the police when they're robbed in Detroit anymore, if they're smart, is if they have insurance, they have to file a police report to file in with the insurance and get some remuneration. But the police there are never going to get your stuff back. They're rarely going to get it back anywhere else. I mean, maybe they'll get a car back, something big that's on the street, but
that has low jack.
Yeah, they don't. The private market has low jacked. You know, you've put it in yourself and paid for it. But yeah, the police don't stop crime, and in a lot of cases, Detroit is a perfect example of this. They just make crime. You know, they just rob people and take their money from people who are not only don't have any victims, but are actually providing a service. And this kind of stuff is going to lead to just collapse, just cities that don't work because they're not able to tax people anymore because they're keeping people from being able to produce money that's taxable. And that's government.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Meow, meow, meow. This is Michael Dean, Worms, Freedom Fiends. I'm talking to Lou Sander Fiend, and he's going to tie it all together in a pretty bow here for the redemption in the third act. What do you got there, Lou?
I have a wonderful story from just a couple months ago. I was with my father on, I think, Memorial Day weekend. There was a little barbecue, or no, it was a different weekend. But anyway, my father's 73, and he's pretty internet savvy and everything else. And he's definitely better than me because he got off of dial up like years ago, and I just got off of it a couple weeks ago. I'm really enjoying this DSL stuff. It works so much better. But anyway, I was explaining to a couple of his friends about how YouTube works, and they're not very net savvy. Their computer is very old. I think email crashes their system. Their computer is good for classic solitaire and things like that.
Yeah.
But I was explaining YouTube, and before Porkfest, I was looking at new tents to take with, because my regular tent, which is fine for a weekend, is kind of small. One person can suffer in there for a weekend, and it's not a big deal. But once you start looking at 7-9 days or anything like that, it gets to be a little bit tight. So I wanted a really big tent, and I was trying to decide between...
We have a really big tent in our movement.
Yeah. I was trying to decide between two different tents. So I went on YouTube, and I'm looking at all these different reviews that people had put up. And it showed how to assemble each one. It gave commentary of people that do a lot of camping, and they explain, all right, this is what I liked about this particular tent. This is what I didn't like. And that's how I was able to make my decision, because I was able to see the tents fully assembled, and they did really good walkthroughs, and they shared their experiences. So I made my choice, and I was very, very happy with it. Now, explaining YouTube to this woman who's in her mid to late 70s and never really checked it out because, you know, like I said, her computer's worse than mine. So I finally found somebody that I'm more tech savvy than. Woohoo! But anyway, she says, well, who's directing this? Who's telling these people to put these videos up? And I'm like, nobody. That's the beautiful part about it. People are trying the... You know, they're looking at tents and they're making videos about it. They're coming up with ideas and they're sharing their ideas with everybody. And there's no central planner going out shouting, you make a video about tents. You make a video about camp stoves. You make a video about how to do a backyard garden. People are just doing this on their own. There's a cost of zero to use it. And it's just this beautiful thing. And there's no central planner telling them how to do it. You have all these ideas at your fingertips. They're just a click away. All you have to do is type in a search, and you'll get the phone book on these different things. And it really befuddled her that there wasn't somebody guiding this and saying, do this. And what's really amazing is YouTube, if there's something you don't like, you don't have to watch a video on it. You click on your own, and if you watch it all the way through and it's something that you don't like, it's your own fault because you clicked on it and you didn't click out of it.
Yeah, and you can comment on it. You know, I don't hang out with that many people period. I don't know that many people, but I certainly don't hang out with a lot of people that aren't internet savvy. And I have sent my 93-year-old dad YouTube links to stuff that I thought would interest him, and he's clicked on it. And, you know, I've never actually had the discussion with him about that. I don't know if he gets it or not of how that stuff ends up there. I just assume he understands it, but he's enjoyed videos I've sent him. But the thing is, it's not that unbelievable of a concept to older people. I mean, older people definitely at some point in their life have wanted to share something with the world. And people with expertise like to share their expertise with people, even if they're not getting paid. And on YouTube, you know, if it's really successful, if a lot of people look at it, you actually can put ads on it and make a little money on it. But people left alone to their own devices, the government would have you think that people left alone to their own devices would all murder each other and there'd be blood in the streets without the police, even though the police go down my street once every 3 days, you know, and there's no murders when they're not there. They're not keeping people from murdering. People keep people from murdering, and people will come up with nice stuff and share it with people without government intervention or direction from anyone.
The biggest complaint about YouTube is the censorship. Here we have an example of where the market has provided.
Yeah, and it's private property, so, you know, they can censor it. They can do that. You agree. You click on it when you join up. And that's the free market. We'll be back with more tonight in 10 hours with Bill Buprich and Derek J.
Worms.